We are on Gimel and Bet. We're going to be going on to Dalam and Aleph today. So we had last talked about some very beautiful ideas from Rish Lakish about the learning of Torah and how it impacts us and changes us and transforms us. And the last thing we had said was there was a comparison from the Pasuk in... where is it? Yeah, in Habakkuk. That comparing human beings to fish. The first one was, you know, why are we comparing fish? What is the relationship that just like fish, they leave the water, they die. So to Torah, which is like, you know, our water, in Torah, in my Torah, Torah is our water, is our sustenance. So to me, depart from it has very negative consequences. But the other was that just like fish, when exposed to the elements, also suffer consequences. So too, human beings. So the Gemara says we're here four lines up from the bottom. Ibayis ema. The word says ibayis ema b'olam hazev, ibayis ema olam habam. Some say this interpreted this last statement about being exposed to the element, you know, extreme heat, extreme cold, is a reference to this world, and some say it was a reference to the next world. So ibayis ema b'olam hazev k'd Rav Chanina. So the interpretation that is referring to this world is based on teacher Rabbi Chanina. Amri Chanina, Chanina taught in Gemara Bava Metzia, Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mitzinim upachim. Everything is in the hands of heaven, except for cold, and tzinim upachim literally means obstacles. Shneamar tzinim upachim b'derech ikesh, that the cold and the obstacles stand in a crooked path. Shomer nafsho yirchak b'hem, someone who's going to be careful and protect themselves should distance themselves from it. So this is those who are interested in a more deep dive into rabbinic theology. So sort of the question of what is deterministic? What is based on determinism? And where is the area of free will? So Tosfos over here at the bottom, Shomer nafsho yirchak b'hem, and the Tosfos before it of Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mitzinim upachim, basically summarizes this, presents a very more deterministic approach to what our choices we make in life. In fact, Tosfos there says Kol ha'mu'uros habos al adam midi yom yom bidei shamayim. Basically, everything that occurs to us on a daily basis is the product of divine providence. Except, and you cannot actually choose one way or the other to not be exposed to them, except for the heat and the cold. So, I mean, I think that's an interesting thing to think of, that in general, that these natural phenomena, Chazal were imagining, were beyond the control of God. You may be thinking of and associating with a similar concept that we see elsewhere in the Gemara and Brachos, which is Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mi yirat shamayim. So the Tosfos here points out it's not a contradiction, but they're talking about different things. The Tosfos says at the bottom of Divrei Maaseh Shomer Nafsho Yirchak Mehem that statement, the Gemara and Brachos, is referring to what we call your biological determinism, the sense that we're all born with certain characteristics and genetic makeup that limit what we can do. As much as I want to be, you know, I could spend thousands of hours working on my basketball game, I'm never going to be as good as LeBron James just because he has greater athleticism and many other things. He's also 6'9", and I'm only 5'10". But however, the beautiful thing that the teaching that goes there, as Tosfos ends up, however, the thing that is within the realm of our choice is whether we choose to be a tzaddik or a rasha. As Tosfos says at the bottom here, Kishnei drachim netunim lefanav atovara. When the Pesukim in the Torah, that there's two paths put before us, we can choose which we want to go down. In fact, the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva that, you know, we can't be as great of a chacham or a navi as Moshe Rabbeinu, but every single Jew has the possibility of being as great of a tzaddik as Moshe Rabbeinu or as big as of Russia as Rav Ben Avad, really highlighting the tremendous potential that each and every one of us has. Okay, so that's understanding in the terms of this world. What about the next? V'yibayisim olam haba, k'ripshu ben lakish, k'damar ripshu ben lakish, Rish Lakish taught, in gehinom atid lavo, there is no such thing as hell in the future. Ella, what's going to be, what's going to happen? Hakadosh Baruch Hu motzi chama min artika u'makdira b'hem rishayim. Sorry, makdir b'hem rishayim yidonim ba v'tzadikim misprapim ba. That God will sort of seek unsheathe the sun, and the same experience will be judgmental and painful for the sinners, and it will be healing for the tzaddikim. It's on a very simple level. It seems like there's a metaphorical concept going on over here, which is that you talk about that, you know, hell isn't, you know, fire and brimstone like you see in, like, you know, Christology described there with all, you know, the devils and their, again, if you're watching the Good Place, they describe over there the torture that's going on there. Rather, it sounds like that hell is really an experience of the clarity of life and how we didn't live in concert with that the values of the Torahs we should have lived, and it's the pain, the suffering that comes from that realization that how we didn't really fulfill our potential, what we could have done, is for those who didn't live up to it, so that's painful. If those who did, then that's actually a very exhilarating experience. And I think that's at least one way to understand this line in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, how do we know that Rishonim Nidoniba, that the Rishonim will be judged by this experience? As the Pasuk says here in Malachi, Hine Hayom Ba, behold, the day is coming, Bo'er Kitanur will burn forth like a furnace. You call Zedim, call Sarasha, and all the wicked and all those who do evil, Kash V'lahat Osam Hayom Haba, that they will be like chaff and stubble who will be set ablaze on that day. Amar Shem Tzvako, that Shalo Yazov Lahem Shosh Benaf. There will be nothing left of them, not a root and not a branch. Says the Gemara, as a drasha, Lo Shahorish, Bol Mazah, Lo Anaf, Lo Mahapa. No roots left in this world, no branches, how to give them support in the world to come. And how do we know Tzadikim is rapping? But the Tzadikim will be healed by it. So another pasuk, we have a pasuk here in Malachi, Vizarcha Lachem Yirei Shemi, that Shemesh Tzaka Marpek Knafeha. That the same, again, the same prophet, and it's the same, it's the very next pasuk in this prophecy, that for the Rishayim it's going to be a blaze. It will burn them. But for the Tzadikim, those who fear my name, it will be righteousness and it will heal their wings. So lo, not just that they will be healed by it, Ella, Shemit Adimba, they'll actually be rejuvenated through the process. Shenamar, as the Pasuk says, continues to say in Malachi, Yetzatam, Bepashtem Ke'egle Marbak, that you will go out and will leap forth like the Marbak cattle. I'm not exactly sure what that's a reference to. So Davar Acher, another idea, which is sort of reference to the state of nature from Hobbes. Ma Dagus, so we're going back to this comparison to fish. So we had fish because we need water. We need Torah like they need water. Fish, just like they're exposed to elements and they die, so to us. And the third reading of this comparison from Habakkuk of why we're being compared to fish. So Ma Dagus Shabiyam Kol Agadol Mechavero Boleas Chavero. Just like, you know, there are predators and there are prey. So Af Bnei Adam Il Mali Mora Shal Malchus Kol Agadol Mechavero Boleas Chavero. If it wasn't for, so too it comes to man, that we are just as violent as the animal kingdom. Sometimes we have to think that, oh, we're not as prone to violence as the animal kingdom, but it's important to remember what we as human beings are capable of. That if it wasn't because of the fear of the kingdom, of governmental, you know, control, of, or, you know, Hobbes would say, the Leviathan, which actually, now you think about it, it's ironic, because, you know, the Leviathan is a fish, and it works well. Okay, cool. Hobbes knew Gemara. He learned about Azara. That everyone would destroy each other. Hadnam, we have a mission in Avos. Bichanina Skan Kohanim Omer. Bichanina Skan Kohen said, "Have a mispalo b'shlomo shel malchus." You should pray for the peace of the kingdom. Why shel mali mor shel malchus ishas reo chayim balu? If it wasn't for the laws and the potential penalties and punishments for violating those laws, we'd have straight up anarchy and violence. So while we're discussing these teachings of Rabbi Chanina, we have some more here. As we have a good amount of agadas right now. On about both about God and also about the way God treats the Jewish people versus the non-Jewish people. So Gemara says, Rabbi Chanina bar Papa Rami Ksiv, he brought a contradiction. And of course, just to get excited, we're going to meet some Christians today and their interactions and apologetics and their arguments with the rabbis. So yeah, he brought a contradiction. It says, Shakai lo matzauhu shagi koach. So it says that they've yet to find your excellent power. V'ksiv gadol adoninu v'rav koach. V'ksiv yimincha Hashem ne'adari b'koach. Yet with these other psukim in Tehillim and Shmos, they indicate that God's power is known. So on the one hand, the pasuk in Iov implies that we haven't discovered God's power. And these other psukim imply that it has been. So Gemara says, lo kash, it's not a problem. Kam b'shas adin, kam b'shas melcham. When God is executing judgments, we saw yesterday that God doesn't just do strict justice, but rather engages in mercy, and he goes from the chair of justice to the chair of rachamim. So there we don't see his koach because he hides it, he holds himself back. Whether we're shas melcham, God is in the state of war when he's executing his vengeance, then we see God's power really manifest. Rabbi Chama bar Chanina Ramiksev, another contradiction between psukim. Chema Ainli. So God says about himself in Yeshaya that I have no fury. But yeah, we have other psukim here in Nahum and Zechariah. No Kema Hashem bo bal chema. God has fury. So guys, again, we say lokasha, it's not a problem, it's not a contradiction. Kam b'Yisrael, kam b'ov t'kochavim. The reference to says that God has no fury is a reference to his relationship with the Jewish people, and the pasuk says that God does have fury, that God does take vengeance, is a reference to his relationship with the Gentiles. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa Amar, he says, chema ein li. Why don't I have any fury towards the Jewish people? Shekvar nishbati, because I already promised here in the pasuk in Yeshaya, mi yitnani shelo nishbati, yes, shamir v'shit, meaning that basically it's describing the Nebuah over there, that God said, had I not promised that I wouldn't harm you, then basically I would throw my briars and my thorns and my thistles at you. So basically, again, bringing proof text by the rabbis for the unique relationship between God and the Jewish people, that even though we may be deserving of God's wrath, God has promised himself not to execute it. And Amar Rabbi Alexandri, so this here is actually an interesting question, which is that v'hainu, so it sounds like really means, and this is similar to the teaching of Rabbi Alexandri. And the question is, what is similar to the teaching of Rabbi Alexandri? So Rashi says that this comment out of Alexandri is going all the way back to Gimel Ben Aleph. That we said on Gimel Ben Aleph that God does not act like a tyrant towards his creations. And now we're going to go referencing all the way back to Gimel Ben Aleph. So this is, that's kind of crazy that we're going to be skipping all the way back over to Amudim to go back to the conversation, and therefore Tosus makes both a contextual and thematic argument that really this is just a continuation of the Gemara here. V'hainu d'amar l'exandri, ma'ay d'chsiv, the Torah says, v'haya b'yomahu avakish la'ashminis kol ha'goyim. It will become on that day, again, this is a pasuk in Zechariah, it will come on that day that I will request or desire to destroy all the nations. So the Gemara says, wait a second. God needs a license to kill? He's like, well, James Bond? Avakesh mimi. Who does God need to request his license to kill from? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, avakesh benigni shalhem. Remember, like, what the heck is a nigni? So Rashi here tells you a nigni is the sefer zikara maaseim. Basically, there's this book or this record, you know, it's accounting in the good place where they have all of the actions done by the different nations. So God is sort of looking at that to assess. Im yishlam zchos epadim. So if they have the necessary merits, they have enough points, so to speak, so then they'll be redeemed, they'll allow to be saved and go to the good place. Vim lav, but if not, ashmidim, they'll be sent to the bad place. V'hai namar Rava, that's what Rava said, ma'ay dechsiv, it says, ach lo ba'i shalach yad, imipido lehen shua. It says, I don't want to send, this is a pasuk in Eov, I don't want to send forth my hand, mipido, the whole drush is going to be on what the word pido means, lehen shua, to be some sort of salvation for them. So Amar Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yisrael, God says to the Jewish people, "K'sheni dan es Yisrael, when I judge the Jewish people, in ani dan osam kov tikacham. I don't judge them the same way I treat the non-Jews." Dechsiv, it says regarding the non-Jews here, a pasuk in Yecheskel, "Ava ava asimenu, ruin 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 shall I place upon them." Elani nifra mehen kapir shotanegolas, that I will. So again, going back, as I said before, the drasha is the way God's saving us. Is bepido, what does it mean? The pido lahem shua. With his pido, there is salvation. So the drasha is that God's way that he deals with us, with our sins, is kapid shotanagolas. What's a kapid? So Rashi tells us it's the pecking of a chicken. That just like a chicken will peck a little bit, Rashi says, shemit nakrin mimat ma'at, that a little bit, gathers up its food. So too, God says, my relationship of executing punishments to the Jewish people, the chin nifra mehen ma'at ma'at, the hester panim, that God will slowly but surely eat up what we deserve over time, in order so when that comes latid lavo, we have no more, we're no longer found to be guilty. So davar acher, afilein Yisrael osim mitzvah lefana ki'im ma'at, kapit shel tarnegolin. God says another drush on the word kapit here, is even the Jewish people only do a mitzvah, as small, like the pecking of a chicken, shimnakim ashba. I guess they go forth and peck in the garbage, looking for their food. And again, mean that the mitzvahs they're doing are so small and seemingly on the surface so insignificant. God says, "I need mitzvah friend lechashman gadol. I'm going to go and combine all these small acts you think are so small, but combine them to a much larger accounting." Shemar, as it says in the pasuk, impido lehen shua, that through this pecking, I will be the salvation. Not just like that, God is going to be mifarein from us to save us from judgment, but rather he's going to take all of our small, what we think are insignificant actions, and bring them together, and that will be the salvation for us. The rach, or another reading is, it's through the schar of us, not just through our actions, but rather through how we cry out, the feelings that we want to have more, that's going to result in us being saved. So Gemara continues and says, this all relates to another idea. The Hanu Amar Rabbi Abba taught, why does the pasuk say in Hosea, Anochi Afadim, Vehema Deberu Elai Kizavim, that here I behold I will be redeeming them, but yet they speak about me terrible lies. So God says, Ani Amarti Afadim B'Momana B'Mazeh Kedesh Yiskulom Haba. The reason why God says that I'm attacking them and in a certain sense I'm punishing them through their money, through the economy, is that they'll have his punishments now in this world, but they'll be able to have zechut in the next world, be able to survive, be able to thrive in Olam Haba. And yet, we the Jewish people, we don't understand the chesed HaKadosh Baruch is doing, v'hema dibrulai kizavim, we therefore speak lies, say God is capricious. V'hainu damar Rav Papi, it's a similar idea that Rav Papi said the name of Rav, Ma'idechsi, the Pasuk says, in Hosea, Vani Yisarti, that God trained us. Chazakti is Rotam, he strengthened our arms. Ve'ilu Yichshavura, nevertheless, about me, God says, they think I'm doing evil. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, God said, Ani Amarti Yisarim Yisarim B'Olmazeh. I'm going in, I'm punishing them in this world. I'm giving them Yisurin, difficulties in this world, Kedish Yishchu Zerotam L'Maba, in order to strengthen them, not to just capriciously punish them, because I'm an evil God, but rather in order to set them up for success later. V'Elai Yichshavu Ram. Nevertheless, they think I'm doing it for capricious, for terrible reasons. So I think this is all a lead up, as we're going to see in the Gemara continues, to really explain a issue that really a lot of Jews for many centuries suffered from, which is how do you explain that we're supposed to be the Jewish people, or the Jewish people are the chosen people, and yet our historical situation has been so terrible. We've been oppressed, we've been murdered, we've been pursued, we've been marginalized. And so how do you explain that? In fact, this type of these type of ideas and experiences were used as ammunition by our Christian counterparts as a justification for the truth of their gospel. Like, Jews, how could you be the chosen people if you're being so, harassed on a daily basis? It must be you aren't chosen. In fact, you are rejected by God, and that would further justify further harassment of the Jewish people. And this is all a setup for the continuation of the story with Rabbi Avohu, Rabbi Rav Safra, and one of the Minim, who in this case probably is referring to an early Christian, because what the Chazal are saying is that no, maybe it was to see a suffering now in this time period, but it's all with a larger picture, a larger goal in mind, of Olam Haba in mind. And it's a way of a rabbinic response to this Christological claim of the rejection of the Jewish people. So with that background, let's continue with the story here of Rabbi Avohu and Rav Safra. And it's important to note that Rabbi Avohu is from Eretz Yisrael with the name Rabbi. And he's actually from Caesarea, which was a cosmopolitan city in the north with a lot of pagans, a lot of Christians, a lot of Jews. In fact, there are many Gemaras throughout Shas discussing Rabbi Avohu's interactions with different pagans and different Christians. But Rav Safra, being just a Rav, he is from Bavel. And therefore, he didn't really have any exposure to Christianity. In fact, the operating religion at that time was Zoroastrianism. So Rabbi Avohu, the Gemara says, he spoke up Rav Safra to the local authorities, to local Christians, that he was a great man, and because of that, he should be given a tax exemption. So Hushav Kolei Michsa the Tleis Roshanim. So they said, yeah, you're right. He should get a tax exemption, therefore he'd have to be taxes for 13 years. So Yom Achad, Eshkechu. So they find him now, he's this famous person of Safra, and we're giving him a tax exemption. Let's see if he's actually deserving of it. So Amar Lei, they said to him, let's ask you a following question. See if it says in your Torah, Rak Yitchem Yadati Mikol Meshvechot Adama. Only you, the Jewish people, have I known from all the nations of the world. And Rashi explains here, Yadati, meaning the Lashon of to love, really, to know us in the sense that God loves us. And yet, God then continues and says, Al Kein Efkod Alechem Kol Vanotechem. And God says, you know what I'm going to do? Therefore, I am going to call you to account for all of your iniquities. And the question is, that these Christians ask, Man, the Islay Sisya Barachme Masikle? They don't understand. Does God love you or does God hate you? If he loves you, then why is he calling forth all of your iniquities? If he hates you, that makes sense. So what's going on here? Does God love you or is God rejecting you? So Rav Safra said nothing. Ishtik, v'lo amr lehu, v'lo midi. He had nothing to say to these Christians. So what did they do? They're like, this guy is a fraud. Rambule sujra, but savre the kam, they took some sort of scarf, they wrapped it around his neck and started torturing him. So all of a sudden comes Rabbi Avohu, he comes running, Asa Rabbi Avohu. Ishchinu, he finds them torturing his friend Rav Safra. Amr lehu, he says to these Christians, Amai matzaritu, why are you torturing him? So Amr lehu, they said to him, Alav amar talon da adam katlehu, you told us here's this great scholar, this great sage of Safra from Bavel. He doesn't even know how to tell us the pshat psukim. So you're a liar, and therefore you want to, we're punishing him. So Amar Lehu, so Rav says, Emar da'amri lehu b'tanai b'kraimi amar lehu. Yeah, I say he's a great scholar in rabbinic literature. Did I ever say he was a Bible scholar? I never said that. He doesn't know it. So, Gemara says, so the Gemara continues and says, Amar Lehi, the Christian said back, Maishna atun, di atun. So how come you're different? What's different by you, Rabbi Avoh, that you know Bible scholarship and your colleague does not? So Rabbi Avoh said, Amar Lehu, Anan et at Amru, he's listen, I live here in Caesarea with you, with pagans and Christians, so I always have to be on my feet knowing the answers to all your questions, you know, who is the suffering servant in Isaiah, etc., etc. However, he lives in Bava with the Zoroastrians. Lo ma'ini. He doesn't have to know all these questions, really deep understanding of these psukim in Tanakh. So they said, okay, fine. So Hachal, you give us an answer. Amulei. So they said to them, Leimalad. So give us, Leimalad at, you give us an answer. Amulehu. He said to them, Imsholahem Mashal. I'll give you the following parable. Lamaha Dever Doma. What's this? What's the pasuk? What can it be compared to? La'adam, Shonashem, Mishneh B'nei Adam. A person gives money to two people. Echado Avova Echadso. One person he loves, one person he hates. Ovoni from Imenu Ma'at Ma'at. Sononi from Imenu Batacha. He says, how are they going to, when it comes to pay the debt, how is he going to treat it? So with the person he loves, they'll make some sort of payment plan. Here, you pay a little here, you pay a little there. Now I'd be expecting him to pay the full amount, the millions of dollars, in one shot. And yet when it comes to somebody he doesn't like, he doesn't have respect for him. He's not going to try to be more flexible with this person. And when it comes time to pay the massive debt of millions of dollars, he's going to say, pay me now, or you go bankrupt, you go to prison. So said what Rabbi Avoh is saying, this is according to Rashi, is when it comes to Jewish people who are loved by God, so God slowly, he creates a payment plan that they can pay off their debt, so to speak, of their sins. So when it comes to Yom HaDin, they're debt-free. When it comes to the Gentiles, it comes to the pagans of the world, so who God does not love, he actually is so no, he hates them. So therefore, he doesn't make them pay anything back in the time. They keep taking more loans and more loans and more loans and more loans. But comes Yom HaDin, and God's come back, and he's going to ask them, where is the debt that they owe him? Continues the Gemara a little bit. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana said, "My dechtiv pasuk says, with this is a conversation between Avraham and God by Sodom, Chliul lecha me'asos kedaver hazel lahamit tzadikim rasha. That if for, you know, for offended for you for God to do something like this, to kill a righteous person with a wicked person. So Amar Avraham lefei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Avraham said before God, Rabbono Sholom, God, chulin hu me'asos kedaver hazel lahamit tzadikim rasha." It would be sacrilege if you do such a thing to kill the righteous with the wicked. The Gemara says, really? God doesn't kill the righteous with the wicked? But lo, we have a pasuk that says, V'krati mimcha tzedek v'rasha, it's a pasuk in Yechezkel, that I will cut down the righteous with the wicked. So it sounds like God has no problem including the righteous with the wicked in his destruction. So the Gemara says, no, but tzedek she'eino gamor. That's not about a tzedek she'eino gamor. However, but tzadik gamor lo, but if someone's purely 100% righteous, God would not include them in his destruction of the wicked. The Gemara says, wait a second, Haksiv. It says elsewhere in Yechezkel, Mikdashi techilo, I'm going to begin with my sanctuary. God's describing the destruction that's going to come forth. Even Vitani Rav Yosi, said, I'll take you Mikdashai, el mimikdoshai. Don't read it as from my sanctuary, rather from those who sanctify me. And who does this refer to? Says the Gemara, Elo bin Yadam, Shekaimu satora mi alfi ataf. These are the people who are so strict, they are punctilious about mitzvah. So it's from A to Z. And yet, we're saying that the destruction is going to begin with them. Those sound like tzadikim gemurim, and yet you just said that they don't be punished with the righteous, with the wicked. So how does that make sense? So Gemara here ends with a very important message we'll end with for today. Hasam nami. Also there's a reason. Kevan shehaya biyadam limchos. V'lo michu havlo katzikim sheinu gemurim. Because they had ability, they saw, they witnessed that the evil and the deterioration of society that was happening, yet they didn't do anything, they were silent in the face of all that, therefore they're treated like tzadikim she'eino gemurim. I mean, it's a message for us to think about. When we see things that are going on in our society around us, we need to speak up, we need to engage, we need to do something about it. We can't just sit back and be silent. Everyone have a great day.